Chair Shot Reality on a big weekend. If you're a WWE fan, we consider it now one of the big five, maybe the big four. It is Money in the Bank in what is arguably WWE's top market of Chicago. Josh Eisenberg, Justin Labar, WrestleRumble.com. We're going to obviously plug that, WrestleRumble.com. You can go up and win up to $1,000. That's first prize. I think second prize is like $500. Then it's like $50, all for going on WrestleRumble.com. You answer the questions. Who's going to win? Who's going to be the first one to grab a ladder? All kinds of fun.
I'm going to win this time, Justin. I'm grabbing that briefcase. It's going to be full of $1,000. I'm excited for it.
All kinds of fun questions, and they each worth a certain amount of points. He who has the most points, or she, is the grand prize winner and then follows in suit. It's a lot of fun. It makes the show that much more exciting to watch. WrestleRumble.com. Josh, let's get into it. Let's get into what could be the most nuclear heat we've ever heard as in Chicago, Roman Reigns up against Jinder Mahal. I don't even know where we start with this.
I think this match needs to be 7 minutes tops. You know, the reaction for both guys are going to be you know, through the roof with boos and, you know, it's funny because Jinder Mahal doesn't ever get cheered, no matter, you know, what. He's one of the original heels right now in WWE. But it's Chicago, so he could potentially get cheered just because of default of booing Roman Reigns. I don't know where you put this match on the card. That's my biggest question. It should be after, I think, a ladder match or potentially after the WWE Championship match. But either which way, Roman Reigns wins this match. We have to keep it quick. You have to get them in, have a couple of big spots for each guy, and then send them to the back, because this match doesn't really interest most people.
No, sandwich it in between, like you said, right after a title match or a ladder match. I mean, this match really doesn't mean anything. While it's been consistently built on television because it involves Roman Reigns, it really doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. I guess all it means is deeper storyline purpose of, does Roman Reigns, you know, does he suffer another loss, which I don't think he does. The only way I can see Roman Reigns suffering a loss would be if the injured Singh brother comes back, and that's Jinder uses that to his advantage to get a win. But I don't see it. So for WrestleRumble purposes, I'm going Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that'll just recycle what we saw last year with Randy Orton having those outside guys interfere. And like you said, there doesn't need to be more of a storyline with these two guys. Speaking of storylines, I think one of the worst storylines we've seen in quite some time, Justin, is your boy Samuel Zayn and my boy Bobby Lashley, ironic on both ends there, competing one-on-one, a weird storyline, a fitness competition that they had this past week, an obstacle course that reminds you of the earlier days of NXT, sisters involved that we've never met, a really odd feud. This needs to end with Lashley winning, right?
I guess. I'm not taking ownership of either of them being my boy. All I know is that this Sunday night, one of my favorite TV shows is coming back for its final season, is Shades of Blue. I will hopefully be catching up on some Shades of Blue during this. I really can't.
I don't get it.
I don't even know what it is. I don't know. Bobby Lashley. I don't know.
Sure, why not, Bobby? We don't even need to spend any more time on this. I feel like we spent 30 seconds too much on it anyway. So yeah, Bobby Lashley here as well.
Yeah, I'd rather spend more time talking about Lana, Natalya, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte.
Lana is the best. Lana number one.
Lana, Natalya, Alexa, Charlotte, Ember Moon, Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Sasha all going for the briefcase. I guess, Josh, you kind of narrowed this down. I mean, if you're in the same – I don't know if you think the same way I do. I look at these matches and I say, okay, you know, Charlotte, no. Been there, done that. Alexa, no. Even Natalya, I don't think so, even though she could play a role in Rousey's matches we'll talk about. You know, to me, I really look at – you know, even Naomi. Naomi's had a lot of accolades. I look at this, really comes down to, like, Ember, maybe a Becky Lynch, maybe Lana. I don't look at any of the veterans who have done anything already. I think you automatically disqualify them from in the running of this.
So the only person, so I can make a case and I'll justify it really quickly. Alexa Bliss, this would be perfect for her gimmick, right? She's the one that's the shortest, the smallest. She could get her championship back the way she does, similar to how Carmella was booked this past year. I don't rule her out. I can see Natalya with an involvement of Ronda Rousey down the road if that is what WWE wants to do. As much as Natalya is a veteran, a professional, I don't want her carrying the briefcase. It doesn't do anything for me. And Charlotte, you know, been there, done that. Yeah, she's done everything except win the Women's Royal Rumble because she wasn't in there, and the Money in the Bank. So I actually do think it comes down to Becky Lynch, potentially a Sasha Banks. Somebody on Twitter asked me, why aren't any of the really, you know, new and young influx of talent like a Ruby Riott or a Mandy Rose or a Sonya Deville in this match? And I think the answer is they need somebody who was previously a champion to resurrect their career and to get a big jolt of energy and a big jolt of adrenaline back. And who is that? That's Becky Lynch. So I think Becky Lynch wins this. I think she can do most with it and give herself more of an edgier character, not necessarily a heel, but an edgier character whenever she decides to actually cash that in.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's eight ladies to choose from, and I'm actually right there with you. Becky Lynch is my pick as well. Some of what you said, I feel that she could get a great resurgence. She had a period of absence, filming whatever movie she was filming, and then even prior to that, she kind of really fell off, as we've seen the rapid pace of women come to the Raw and SmackDown. Between the call-ups and between how much Charlotte and Sasha went back and forth, Becky really got lost in the fold. So I think this would be a prime way to get her some relevance, and I think Becky, it's great if you have it for Becky, because again, she has a year to cash it in, so you can do a lot of you can spend a lot of time really really letting her milk that before she even decides to cash it in, when and wherever that is, and depending on who the champion is at the time.
Yeah, and I think either her or whoever does win this, it's going to just build a storyline of betraying your best friend, whether it's her and Charlotte, whether it's Natalya with Ronda Rousey, things like that. So I think those are two of the favorites, even though, again, like I said, I'm not sure Natalya would be my choice right now.
Well, and I also like Becky because she represents SmackDown, and I do see somebody from SmackDown winning this because, the Raw Women's Championship, which we're getting ready to talk about, it seems like it's going to be very much focused around, one or two
Sure.
people, maybe three people, but the SmackDown kind of seems like it could play musical chairs, it could be tossed around, it could have a license to steal, that the Money in the Bank would be. So let's go into the Raw Women's Championship, the match that, you can make a case that this could certainly be positioned in a headlining spot. Just by the just what surrounds it, and that is the debut, the singles debut at least, of Ronda Rousey challenging for the championship up against Nia Jax.
Does she does this close Money in the Bank in your mind, Justin? I don't think it does.
No.
I can see it, but a lot of people are thinking it could.
It could. I mean, it's the banner match that they're putting on the graphic for on WWE's website. It's getting a lot of
Twitter, everywhere.
yeah. So I think that we'll probably close with the men's Money in the Bank. I think they open the show with the women, close with the men. But this will certainly be positioned somewhere with importance, as it should be, because Ronda Rousey, it's a big deal. She's a big deal, whether people like that or don't like it. I know it's I know she's getting a title shot in her first singles match, but she is a draw. So I can't, though. I can't pick her to win the title. I just don't see it. And I do think with if they start the show with the women's ladder in the match, that opens up a possibility later on for Natalya to come in. Whether she has a briefcase or not, I could just see Natalya getting involved. It's weird to think that Ronda Rousey could lose her first singles match, but I think it's going to come down to that.
I tend to kind of agree with you. I'm still going to go Rousey winning, but not winning the women's championship. I do see an interference of sorts with Natalya. I'm not sure how they're going to really script this out. I think this is the one match that they know what they're going to do with it weeks in advance. So when they book this match, they already had an idea in my mind of how the finish ends. And I don't know if you can say that about a lot of the other matches, the men's ladder match, the women's ladder match, Styles and Nakamura, that we'll talk about later on here on the playlist. But I do think that Rousey wins. I just don't think she wins the championship. So I'm going to keep it open-ended like that. If you're making your Wrestle Rumble picks, pick Rousey to win. I can't see her losing her first match. And I think that they gave Nia Jax the championship because she is even more of an impressive feat for Rousey to overcome.
This is also probably a match that they've done a few times in the Performance Center. They've probably worked this. They've probably walked this match out a little bit, as again, it's Rousey does not have Kurt Angle, Triple
Yeah.
H, and Stephanie to conceal her, to hide. I mean, so it's her and Nia out there in the open. So I'd be curious, how long do you think this goes bell to bell?
I would think maybe 10 minutes tops. I was actually surprised at how Nia Jax worked a longer match than I expected against Alexa Bliss. And kudos to Nia for doing that, because a woman at 272 pounds, hell, even a man at 272 pounds, it's hard sometimes to do a 10-minute match. I think there's a little bit of a feeling out process for the first minute or two of the match as they go back and forth trying to one up the other. And then I think you get into it. So I would say maybe 8 to 11 minutes. That's a sweet spot for me.
You only have one chance to truly make a first impression. She made a good first impression in the tag match for Mania, but again, now this is all up to her and Nia Jax. Do we see Ronda Rousey's matches booked with any similarity to Brock Lesnar in the sense of it's got a little bit more of that shoot fight feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think so a little bit, but I think whenever with Ronda Rousey, it's a little bit different. Whether it's the age, whether it's how Ronda's booked, they're both UFC fighters, I understand that, but the difference between Rousey and Lesnar is Rousey's not this physical presence, even though she's one of the baddest fighters, but she's not this physical, you're looking at her and seeing that she is this dominant horse of a woman like Nia is. So if anything, Nia should have been built like Brock Lesnar was before she captured the championship. She wasn't really. You know, she lost a bunch of matches in between. But I do think that you're going to see more of a shoot fight to it. I do think Ronda really gets her on the ground for a little bit, tries to get her to tap out. Nia throws her outside of the ring. It's going to be more than just 4 or 5 minutes of grappling.
It shall be interesting. One way or the other, we'll definitely be talking about it Monday morning to see as Ronda Rousey's singles career getting ready to take place here in Chicago, Money in the Bank. Love to hear what you think. You can hit us up all over social media. You can leave a comment on this video at Josh Eisenberg 4, at Justin Labar. We have Chair Shot Rally on Facebook. Everywhere. Can't miss us. You don't want to miss us. We got more coming up in the playlist still to come. We got to talk about the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Plus, we got Styles versus Nakamura and a whole bunch more. Don't go anywhere. It's Chair Shot Rally on Wrestling Inc. Continuing on the playlist here, binge watch playlist on Wrestling Inc.'s YouTube channel. You can also hear just the audio if you don't want to look at these smiling faces. You can hear the audio all across the audio platforms on the Wrestling Inc. channel. He's Josh Eisenberg. I am Justin Labar. Money in the Bank. WrestleRumble.com. We keep talking about it. They present Chair Shot Rally here on these pay-per-view weekends. WrestleRumble.com went up to $1,000 just by making your predictions of who's going to win Money in the Bank. You know you're going to make your you're making your predictions anyways. Your armchair booking. Why not put it down on paper and have a chance to win some big money? It makes the show that much more enjoyable to watch. You can play against myself, Josh, and a cast of thousands of other people around the world. All right, Josh, let's get into more predictions here. Let's go Daniel Bryan and Big Cass Part 2. Does Cass even it up 1-1?
As much as I want to say Daniel Bryan finishes this feud and moves on, which I think everybody wants to see, it's an interesting storyline. It's not as bad as Lashley and Zayn, but it's still odd, I guess, because really their only gripe is, I'm taller than you. So let's fight about it, Justin. I'm taller than you. I actually think Cass somehow pulls a win out of this and actually extends to Extreme Rules. And I think it's a dirty, cheap shot behind the referee's back, so Bryan doesn't look completely, squashed, as some people are thinking. He's had a couple of clean losses against Rusev and others. I do think Big Cass cheats somehow, picks up a victory here, and then you get the rubber match in Pittsburgh at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think Big Cass has to win this and even it up at 1-1. Otherwise, it's just been a big waste of TV time, and they're giving it considerable TV time. But if Cass just loses, you know, look, I get the last one. You know, Bryan wins, and he's back on pay-per-view, and maybe Cass was being punished. I don't know. So Cass loses. You got to redeem him. If you're going to keep giving him TV time, you got to even it up here 1-1. Like you said, do it with some heel tactics. Maybe it's with a weapon or some gimmick that then translates into what their gimmick match would be at Extreme Rules if that's the route they go. But if Cass doesn't win here, then I don't know. I almost feel like then it's like almost like a big rib on him. Like what are you doing with the guy who's 7 foot tall?
Exactly. You're not sure what to do with him. And everybody knows that Daniel Bryan is over in Big Cass still. You know, he's not getting that reaction, whether it's not a catchy song, whether it's what he's saying. And, you know, Jim Ross said on his podcast earlier this week that he really lacks the vocal, you know, the mic presence live to a crowd. He's not really connecting with them. So it will be interesting to see how this match is booked. But I do think we both agree that the dirty tactics are a way to go about that. But speaking of somebody who captures the WWE Universe every Monday night, he strums that guitar. He is the best on the mic in WWE today. Elias. Going for the Intercontinental Championship against Seth Rollins, who is the hottest superstar in the ring. Justin, take your pick.
As much as I want to say Elias, I don't think yet. I'm going to give this to Seth Rollins. He is on a roll. He is hot. While Elias has had a great run, I mean, you know, Elias has gotten wins on John Cena. He's gotten wins on Bobby Roode. I mean, you know, he's got the better of Braun Strowman in some regards over the past year. So Elias is hot. I don't think he'll be damaged in any way losing to Seth Rollins. Just again, considering how Seth Rollins, pound for pound right now is the best performer WWE has, bell to bell. But I could see this being. I don't think this is the end. I could see this also extending into Extreme Rules. And I do think it's very possible that before this is all done, Elias does take the Intercontinental Championship, and Seth Rollins can then move on potentially to the main event picture.
I actually think Elias is going to surprise and win the Intercontinental Championship, Justin. What better way than Chicago cutting a little guitar, promo beforehand. The reason that I'm thinking that he's going to win is I do think we will get a rematch at Extreme Rules. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be some weird gimmick with a guitar on a pole match or something, you know, Vince Russo would create in his lab. But I do think that Elias actually somehow finds a way to win. It's not going to devalue Seth Rollins. It's only going to put Elias on a higher pedestal. If he loses this and loses clean, yeah, you can kind of build him again to another match. But it's easier for WWE Creative to say, well, Elias shocked the world in some instances by beating the best in the world in Seth Rollins. And what better way for Elias on Monday Night Raw in the following weeks to capture and have the Intercontinental Championship and really brag and talk about how he was the one who was able to burn down Seth Rollins?
Bro, he grabs the guitar, and then can you imagine the song he's going to play? I'm not even trying to imitate Vince. And
you don't have a Barry Bonds jersey on, so I don't know what you're trying to do.
All right, and AJ Styles up against Shinsuke Nakamura, last man standing match, WWE Championship. I've lost track now of how many televised matches
they had.
Mania, Greatest Royal Rumble. Yeah, I guess this would be the fourth televised match. Last man standing match, you know, that this usually means the finale. So if this is the finale, then that would mean this would be the last chance for Shinsuke Nakamura if they are going to move on with him as a heel Shinsuke with a title at all. I can't see it though. I can't see them taking it off of AJ right now.
I've been going back and forth on this one. It's 51%, 49%. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and think, oh, well, I actually think that Nakamura is going to win. The last man standing is not my favorite match in general because the chemistry and the pacing of the match is, soured upon throughout the match. You know, you do a couple of moves and there's 10 seconds of or 8 seconds of dull period inside. So it's not one of my favorite matches. I would have preferred a street fight, but obviously the reports of the Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa street fight stopped that. So I just think overall AJ Styles, I guess I'm going to go with AJ Styles winning this one. If Nakamura loses this, where does he go from here? I don't know if WWE knows that answer, but they do know that their most consistent performer and their best performer on SmackDown is AJ Styles. But again, I would not be surprised if Nakamura walks out and they extend this to another month and then maybe throw somebody in there for a triple threat at Extreme Rules, giving another guy an opportunity so you're not seeing 5-6 times the Styles and Nakamura. If it was Nakamura and Styles with great matches every single outing, then everybody would be okay with it. But they haven't been fantastic. It's been really good matches, but nothing that stood out that anybody expected.
Maybe AJ Styles, you know, he snaps, he loses his cool again, and he just hammers Nakamura repeatedly with chairs until Nakamura stays down, and we go to a chairs match at Extreme Rules. That would be the way to go with WWE.
It could definitely happen, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go AJ Styles. WrestleRumble.com, make your picks, win some big money, compete against Josh and I. Got one more segment to go. We're still going to talk about the other women's championship, and we're also going to talk about the men's ladder match. Sue's going to be walking away with a briefcase from there. Don't go anywhere. Chair Shot Reality, Wrestling Inc. Wrapping up the playlist here of Chair Shot Rally on Wrestling Inc., making our predictions here for Money in the Bank in Chicago. Go to WrestleRumble.com, win some big money, and go to WrestleRumble.com right on the homepage. It'll tell you all the prize lists. You go on, answer questions, not just who wins and who loses, but also it's fun stuff. You know, who's the first one to grab a ladder? Who takes the pin in this tag match? So a lot of interesting stuff. Makes it fun as you follow along on the epic starting at 7 Eastern time. Sunday night. Four more hours, and then but not counting the pre-show before they go for the main card, I guess we call it. And on the pre-show, we have the Bludgeon Brothers up against the Good Brothers of Gallows and Anderson. Any title change here?
No, unfortunately not. I think the Bludgeon Brothers retain. I actually see this being a longer match than most Bludgeon Brother matches, just for the sole purpose that Gallows is a big physical guy. And then you have Abs Anderson, obviously, who can do the speed that Harper has and the power that Rowan and Gallows can do. So it's going to be a good match. I think it's going to be 10, 12 minutes. A couple of big moves here, a couple of quick pinfall attempts. But I do see the Bludgeon Brothers retaining. I don't know on the SmackDown roster who can dethrone the Bludgeon Brothers. If this is on the main card, I could say something potentially like a Sanity could come out, maybe cause a distraction. If they do that on the pre-show, I'd be very disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a claim that it, there's very little separation anymore between the pre-show and main show. It's all on the network, and they push the pre-show out on a lot of different platforms. But yeah, it would be odd that they would move this match to that, knowing that they're gonna have a debut and a big angle. So I tend to agree, but I don't see the titles moving off of Harper and Rowan right now. Another title match is we have Carmella versus Asuka. This one might be the biggest booking question mark because, you know, Asuka's been, you know, she's certainly been devalued a bit since WrestleMania, in the way she's been presented or lack thereof. But she's going up against Carmella. A lot of rumors here. There's the James Ellsworth rumor. There's a lot of things out here. But I don't see Asuka taking the title from Carmella. I think they put it on Carmella for a reason. I don't see them pulling it right back off. So it does beg the question: how do they keep it on her in this situation?
Yeah, I think it begins with Carmella leading a group of her own cronies, so to say, if we use a 90s term. Carmella retains Dirty Tactics with Carmella, similar to what Big Cass is going to do to Daniel Bryan, but she's going to add people to help her out here. Asuka just beat Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville 2-on-1 on SmackDown a couple of weeks ago. So I do think that causes a distraction. I also do think we do see James Ellsworth. You know, a year ago, this is where James Ellsworth got the biggest heat in the world. And what better way now to bring him back than to have Carmella use James Ellsworth to retain over against Asuka, a woman who's only lost, well, she's lost a couple of matches, but really her only significant loss is one against Charlotte at WrestleMania. So I think that's the easiest way. Asuka eliminates a couple of her partners or her buddies, whether it's the Iconics or whether it's Sonya Deville and Mandy, and then Ellsworth is the final piece that helps Carmella retain.
What a great match we'd have then to look forward to of Asuka versus James Ellsworth and just kicking Ellsworth's ass.
Honestly, you know, it's going to happen too. That's the best part. And what better way for him? I mean, the guy's been in WWE for a couple of years and he's faced Strowman. He's had a program with AJ Styles and now Asuka. The guy gets it.
I'll say this. My one experience around him is that we had him here at IWC a few months ago and he worked Goldberg. So that was one chance to be around him in the locker room. And I'll say this. And he has to be, obviously. He's extremely aware of his gimmick and who he is. He has no problem. He's very good at coming up with spots that just absolutely make him the butt of jokes and just. I mean, so you know, I can see why WWE. You know, he lasted longer the first time around in WWE than he ever thought. I could see them wanting to bring him back because he's easy to work with and he's just easy fodder in a situation like this. And you're right, it was mega heat. I thought it was great heat.
Me too.
So and they need to find a way to protect Asuka but keep the title on Carmella. Like I said, I don't see why they would have put it on Carmella just recently, only for her to drop it so quick. All right, and what's probably what I think at least is going to end the night, main event of the night, men's ladder match: Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, Bobby Roode, Braun, Miz, Rusev, Finn Balor, and a member of the New Day.
Who is going to reach that briefcase, Justin? Who's going to grab it? Who's going to bring it back down and call themselves Mr. Money in the Bank? Whew, that's a good question, huh?
You mean
we
this?
Both have briefcases.
Mine's bigger.
The only difference is mine. No, the only that's what she said. Oh man, this is a good one. I've gone back and forth. For 1 week, I thought, well, maybe they can really use the New Day holding the briefcase. How fun would that be? Using all three guys with the briefcase, and if they're not going to be in a tag team division, which they've done everything you could, go to the New Day. Then I thought Finn Balor, then I said no. Then I thought Bobby Roode has absolutely no chance. We've seen that with his booking. It goes down to Braun Strowman for me, and Braun Strowman winning and then calling his shot like Rob Van Dam did against John Cena and cashing in with an announced match at SummerSlam against Brock Lesnar.
I love it. Oh, don't tease me.
Right? Oh,
I love
look
it.
At you. You
I
were
love
just
it.
Getting all excited over there. Woo! But then I also think who's the hottest guy overall and who has a brand new television show and who's the best heel overall in the game right now, and that's The Miz. I'm going to go with one of those two guys. I think those are two of the guys right now that could benefit the most with the briefcase. Braun, who's had some ridiculous booking, whether it's his tag team partner Nicholas at WrestleMania, dropping the title, but still continuing somehow to get the best reaction on Raw, and I know he's your boy. So I'm going to go either Braun or potentially The Miz. I don't know yet, and I wish I had one choice, but those are my two.
I'd love to see Braun win it for any of the scenarios, whether it's calling a shot, whether it's Roman beating Brock and then Braun coming to whatever. I'd love to see it, but I just don't. I'm actually going to go with the New Day.
It's an interesting choice. Yeah.
I feel like they're making a big deal about, okay, who's the New Day going to choose? So that kind of raises my interest. You know, as you said, and I completely agree, and I've been harping this, is that they've ran their course with everything else, but they're obviously not going to break them up. So this is just the next thing to do is put them in a singles situation, but still keeping them under the United New Day banner. So I could see Kofi Kingston because he's obviously the most fit for a ladder match with his skills and ability. I could see, and Kofi's, I think a lot of people say he deserves the most. He's been there the longest. You know, he's He's done a great job, standing the test of time. There's not many other guys that have been on the roster without any departures. Him and The Miz are right up there, not counting, the people like Triple H's and such.
The main stars, yeah.
Yeah. So I can see Kofi Kingston from the New Day winning it, and again, maybe Freebird Rule have some fun teasing, who's going to use the briefcase to cash in. And I also think it's going to be somebody from SmackDown. Again, I think kind of like what I said with the women. I think I could see a SmackDown. I could see something for SmackDown touting that they were both they won the briefcase. I could also see then that fueling Stephanie's anger and Constable Corbin's anger, or Kurt Angle, that they didn't conquer any briefcases for Raw.
Yeah.
Maybe even another way it makes SmackDown look good. SmackDown's right now in the headlines with the new Fox deal. So I don't know. But I could see somebody from SmackDown winning it. Also, again, the title picture on SmackDown, I think, just has a lot more room for the surprise cash-in, where the title picture, whether it's women's or whether it's Universal, yeah, Raw, is much more concentrated. Vince has his hands all over it. I'm going to go New Day. I'm going to say, whoever from New Day, but I'm going to say Kofi specifically.
All right. That wraps it up, huh? There Money in the Bank, baby. Sunday night. Let's get it, Justin. Let's go. It's one of our top four, baby.
Top four. Top four. Right there. Top four. Mine's bigger, shinier, better. That's what she said. WrestleRumble.com. Go win some big money, and you can try to have some bragging rights against Josh and myself. We'll see you next week. Chair Shot Reality on Wrestling Inc.